Welcome, everyone, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. This call is being recorded, and if you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. May I now introduce your speaker for today, Jeff Wells. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, John. This is Jeff Wells from Cboe Global Markets. I'm a technical project manager at Cboe, and I'm introducing really this update call for the cat. As you can see, we've got into a new phase of the cat where we published the industry spec on the 30th of October. So our aim today is really to give you some deeper ideas about the industry spec, how to digest information and give us feedback. So if we just proceed on to the next slide, you can have a look at the agenda here. Yes, it's we'll be looking at the reporting timelines, the fact that some of the asset classes are on different phases, the key changes to technical specifications, the most recent ones, the headlines of those spec changes, and then reporting scenarios, which are really to give you ideas of how different scenarios would play out for industry vis-a-vis reporting. Then moving on to some clear project activities of when you would expect to register, how you might think about connectivity timelines, and so forth. And then we can talk more about the tech specs and upcoming activities and events, which will allow you to focus on specific parts of the cat and also to digest and give information back. And then finally, we'll show you a little bit more about how to actually get to the tech specs, which are vital, look at the interpretive FAQs, and subscribe to updates potentially. So we will finish up with some Q&A. So that's it from me to start the ball rolling. I would like to hand over to Shelley Bolin from FINRA, who can take us through the timelines.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. So I'm going to start here with a quick overview of where we are. As Jeff mentioned, we published the final version of the industry member spec on October 30th, and this was after a long process of soliciting feedback from the industry, working with the industry member tech spec working group, and trying to work through issues that had been raised, you know, over the past year or so. So this version, version 1.0, represents the final version and is the version that firms should use to start development and coding. We don't anticipate any further material changes to the specification prior to the launch date. So I want to be very clear about that. This is the final version, no more material changes, and firms should start coding and development to this spec. So what you'll see in the spec, and as we've shared previously, is that it incorporates the phased-in approach to industry member implementation. And this first version, 1.0, covers the first two phases of the implementation, phase 2A for equities and 2B for options. And we'll get into a little bit more detail on that in just a moment in addition to the dates. One note is that all of the phased approach and the different aspects of the scope will be included in a proposed amendment that the SROs will be filing with the SEC, which is subject to SEC approval. All right, so we can move on to the next slide. I won't spend a ton of time on this one because we've gone over this several times in previous webinars. But this is just showing for the two, each of the phases is broken between large broker-dealers and small broker-dealers. And with the exception of small broker-dealers that currently report to OATS, which are being included in the very first phase with large members in order to facilitate Oates retirement. As a general matter, the small firms are 1 year after the large firms. So the first key date here is November 15th, 2019 for the equities piece, and May 15th, 2020 for the options to be. And then that'll be followed by the second equities phase, then the second part of options, and then finally the customer and account data. And just to point out, down at the bottom of this slide, to refresh everybody's memory, what a small broker-dealer is as defined under SEC rules is any firm with total capital of less than $500,000. So this is different than any previous definitions that might have been in place in Oates. So just wanted to point that out. Everyone take a look and be aware of that. All right, so we can move on to the next slide. And key things to point out here, as you can see, we have, as we have previously laid out in prior webinars, the different dates we had leading up to this October 30 specification release, so we hit that date. And the next big one then will be the industry test window opening on August 15th of next year. And in prior webinars, we've also talked about this conformance period that we have built in, so reporting will start on November 15th, 2019 for 2A. With a 3 month conformance period that will conclude on February 24th, 2020. All right, so we can move on to the next slide. I won't go through all of this in great detail. You can, this we previously walked through just high levels. A big part of phase 2A is that we get all events and scenarios covered by Oates, so that we can facilitate a timely retirement of Oates, very important to everyone. Other big ticket items here, the firm designated ID will be in for 2A, all street side representative orders, linkages in certain scenarios for those orders, electronic listed quotes. You'll see that this now has been clarified to define these listed quotes in 2A as those that are sent to an exchange or the ADS if it were operational. Then we have the unlisted quotes that are being received by IDQSs. Anything that's not sent to an IDQS in the unlisted space, but that would still meet the definition of a quote. The electronic capture time for manual orders. Special handling instructions on route reports, which is different than Oates. And then a application of the current Oates guidance with respect to firm modifications of previously routed orders. We'll round that out. And then if we move to the next slide, so the scope for each phase is described in the previous slide with the exception. So what we've done when we published the spec, we did a few modifications of the scope from what we had previously announced. One of them I just talked about, the electronic quotes and listed securities that are not sent to an exchange or the ADF will not be in until phase 2C. The marking of representative orders that are related to price guarantee scenarios, such as a guaranteed BWAP, reporting changes regarding modifications to algos. There's a lot to talk about there. Just wanted to highlight that for a scope change, we moved that out. And then in the manual order space, certain duplicate electronic messages that come in. A lot of this had these scope adjustments came through many conversations with the industry member tech spec working group and working to see how to best handle some of these scenarios. So those are a few of the equity modifications. Then on phase 2B, the scope for options part one is that are options that are simple electronic options that exclude electronic paired options orders. So as you can see here, what in a simple electronic option is a buy or sell a single option that's not related to any or dependent on any other transaction for pricing. And this is an important part of it, that are either received or routed electronically. So So what that means is that you will, in fact, have scenarios where there would not be linkages inside a single firm in phase 2B. So there's a lot of to discuss there, and I don't want to front run any part of this conversation, but we are going to be doing a deep dive on the options and the equity scope. Tomorrow's options, equities will be next week, so we'll have a lot of time to get much more in depth in some of these more specific areas. But just to point out, it's an or scenario, either receive it or route it electronically. And then that leads you to the next question, what does that mean to receive or route electronically? And an electronic receipt in this context is defined as the initial receipt in a standard format directly into an order handling or execution system, like a fixed message coming in directly into your OMS or EMS. And on the routing side, it's similar. It's an electronic medium, a route via an electronic medium in standard format, for example, FIX, from one industry member's OMS to another's. So it had tried to clearly define that so we understand what the scope of that is. All right, we can move on to the next slide. And again, there's a lot on this slide as well, and as it relates to either equities or options, we'll go in more detail as we go into the product-specific webinars. Today's just being a general, so I'll just hit on a couple of the highlights. A big one here is session ID, routing between broker-dealers. The session ID will not be part of the linkage criteria. It will, in fact, instead, a routed order IDs will require to be unique for routing between two broker-dealers, which will be a change without the benefit of session ID included. Again, we'll talk about that in more detail in more of our deep dive sessions. Let's see, added some items to OTC equity quote events to make sure that those quote feeds that exist today will have everything they need in CAT. On the options side, the origin code has been added to the option new order and on all of the other events so that it's similar, can function in a similar way to the account type code on the equity side. We'll talk about that in more detail in the options presentation. A couple of these other things here on the options side get pretty detailed into specific options scenarios, so we'll save those for the options presentation. Let's see, just whichever one, another one we want to highlight down here, representative order flags. We've tried to make those more intuitive from where they were in the previous spec. And then on the industry member identifier, IM ID usage, IM to IM, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes in more detail. We try to come up with a methodology that would assist firms in being able to identify which IM ID to use. So with that general overview, and again, understanding, we'll go into this in more detail in future presentations. This will go on to slide 9. And another thing to highlight, we wanted to just point out, and as we published version 1.0 of the spec, is that we published a companion document to the spec. So anyone who is currently an OATS reporter and is familiar with the OATS specification, you know, we have a lot of scenarios embedded in the specification that help illustrate how different trading and order handling scenarios should be reported. As we move into CAT, and all of the, you know, the different products, all of the different types of scenarios that are going to be brought to our attention as we move through the next year in implementation, we felt that it would be better able to support adding new scenarios if we put these in their own document, a separate document that could be updated on a more frequent basis vis-a-vis adding new scenarios to help illustrate what the requirements are than if we had kept them embedded in the spec itself. So I would point out that this reporting scenarios document is interpretive material It is subject to the same review and approval process by the operating committee as the technical specifications themselves. So this is not a vehicle to impose new or different requirements outside of an OPCO approval process. That is not, that would not be able to occur as this document is interpretive and subject to that same approval process. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Todd Golub from ThesisCat to start talking about when this is really going to be starting to be real for folks, when registration starts and we start collecting that information. So, Todd, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Shelley. Good afternoon, everybody. As we look at slide 10 now, so ThesisCat, together with the SROs, are finalizing the registration process. And that includes the initial identification of CAT reporters by way of SRO memberships and the creation of the requisite forms themselves. Starting in December, CAT reporters will begin submitting basic information to CAT, including business name and address, the primary contact and registered principal, preferred connectivity type, and some more specific CAT information. For example, your primary contact, as the name suggests, the main point of contact that will be with CAT, and when you, as an industry member, are expecting to begin reporting based on the proposed phased approach that we discussed earlier. I do want to highlight that last point. When registering for CAT, industry members will self-declare when they believe they are to begin reporting based on the proposed phasing. Starting in March, primary contacts will begin to identify their access administrators and individual users at their organization. We're going to have, as you might expect, different levels of contact being available through CAT. It might not always be the primary contact. There may be others who may be authorized to identify the actual reporters, the users themselves, and so that these are the different categories that will be made available. As we continue going down the list, please make note of the connectivity information deadline in May. As I mentioned, we will begin collecting that towards the end of this year, but of course there's this finalization. We do want to make sure that we have all the information in by May. As previously mentioned, ThesisCat will provide a web-based GUI, what we call the reporter portal, to users in order to monitor their submissions. This registration and setup process will begin in June. So following the primary contact and the access admins, individual reporters will be identified. Understanding, or allow me to just to state, if you did not happen to know this information yet, that all users, all even functional accounts, will be associated with an individual. So even though submissions will be done via SFTP, via machine, we do want to have an individual associated with each one of those accounts, and in turn they will be given a reporter portal ID as well. Lastly, while connectivity will take place throughout the process, we have a line item here to complete it through the end of July into August, with testing available beginning August 15th. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be lots of questions about registration and connectivity as we go through this process, and we will certainly be providing that information as it becomes available to the group. I will speak later on, not to steal my own thunder, but I will be speaking later on of the various ways that you can make sure that you remain in contact with CAT to ensure that you receive all the most up-to-date information. With that, I will hand over to Paul McKinney at FINRA.
Great. Thanks so much, Todd. If we could just advance the slide, thank you. The next topics we want to talk about is the industry member IDs, and the industry member IDs are a critical component of the consolidated audit trail, as they, are integral in showing when an order moves from one entity to another. The information I'm going to cover here is covered in CAT Alert 3, which is out on the catnmsplan.com website with greater detail. First thing is orders that are routed from a broker-dealer to an exchange. Firms are going to have to populate the sender IMID field in the order route event with the identifier that they use to send the order into the exchange. So if they're using an MPID to send the order into a particular exchange, they'll have to populate that MPID on their sender IMID field in the order route event. And this methodology is consistent with the methodology that's currently used in OATS in order to show the identifiers that are used to present the order to the exchange. Additionally, when orders are routed to another industry member, then the same IMID, which is essentially identified as an SRO assigned identifier, it has to be used by both the sender and the receiving broker-dealer. Otherwise, the events would not be able to be linked. If we could move on to the next slide, please. So for CAT reporting purposes, there's also going to be a default CAT reporting IMID. Thesis CAT, the plan processor, is going to be publishing a daily list of all SRO assigned identifiers, and that will include a designated default CAT reporting ID. And that would be selected by each CAT reporter when they register as a CAT reporter. So through that registration process that Todd had talked about, they would be designated that. If there's not some kind of a predetermined agreement as to which identifier should be used when reporting either the route or the receipt of the order from another CAT reporter, then the firms would want to use the published default CAT reporting IMID, and that should allow for proper linkage between those two identifiers. That default ID can be assigned by either an equity or an options exchange or SRO. And it can be used on both equity and options events. So if it's an identifier assigned by an options exchange, it can also be used on an equity event. If there are any types of conflicts, it's possible that the same industry member ID could be used by different SROs. The plan processor is going to include that or highlight any conflicts among these SROs. So if a conflict exists for a specific IMID, there's two ways that the industry members can resolve that issue. One, they can choose to use another IMID that is not in conflict with the ID, so it's not showing up on that conflict list. Or they can append additional information on the IMID field, which would consist of the SRO that's actually issuing the IMID. So, just one example is if it's an IMID of ABCD, and that is used by both, say, IEX and NASDAQ, then you just need to populate one of those SRO identifiers to show to give it a bit of a differentiation, and that should resolve that conflict. Okay, moving on to the next slide. So the next material that I'm going to cover here is also covered, again, in more detail in CAT Alert number 2. And this talks about additional information that's going to be published out to the industry by March 31st, 2019. These are addenda that will be certainly beneficial to the industry. So you definitely want to stay on the lookout for these. The first item is the industry member and security master daily lists. These are the SRO assigned industry member identifiers, the conflict list, as well as a start of day security master list and an end of day security master list. So firms would know what has to be reported, which securities would be required to be reported to the CAT. The next item is a JSON schema. This is highlighted in section 2.4 of the technical specifications. That schema will be posted out on the CAT NMS public website, again, by March 31st, 2019. Next slide, please. And then the next item that's going to be published, again, by March 31st, 2019, is for ATSs. This is where ATSs are going to be required to register their ATS order types, much as they were required to do for OATS. And the methodology of how they will do that will be published in a CAT alert. Again, that'll be out by late March. Firms are going to have 20 business days prior to the order type becoming effective to get those ATS order types registered in CAT. And this is a similar timeline as to what was required in OATS. I think it's important to point out here is that even if a firm or an ATS has registered an ATS order type in OATS, they're going to have to re-register those for CAT. There's not going to be any kind of a transition from OATS to CAT. So each of those order types would have to be re-registered specifically with the CAT. So that highlights the additional information that either has been published in forms of CAT alerts 2 and 3 or will be published by March 31st in upcoming CAT alerts or other documents. So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Jeff Wells from SIBO.
Thank you very much, Paul. So obviously there's a lot of information out there, and much of it from OATS to CAT, as Paul was saying, is quite relevant. We have published, or actually we published an OATS to CAT FAQ mapping on August the 15th this year. But there we're also planning to have a CAT-specific version of those FAQs really out for November the 15th, and that's to help industry members in your development efforts. Further, tomorrow we will host an options webinar. There's a lot of novelty for the options markets who are really reporting. They have no background compared to the equities with OATS. So there's a lot to take in, and that'll happen tomorrow, November the 8th. We'll have a follow-up for equities on Wednesday, November the 14th. We realize there's an enormous amount of information that people are having to pay attention to, and a very short time frame. So we're also allowing for some in-person meetings. So the idea of the in-person meetings would be that we can get together for a couple of hours and people can communicate, try and give information back, and that people hopefully will have digested the information that we've given and have good questions that we can clarify or seek to clarify at the very least. In Chicago, we're booking space in early December and late January at SIBO, and we've also got similar plans to have some space in New York City. So plenty more information to come, so please stay tuned. I'd like to pass you over, though, right now to Todd Golub, if we could just move on to the next slide, to talk about where you can get hard information today.
Thank you, Jeff. I want to close up by the different ways of keeping progress data. We spent today about 45 minutes or so talking about
Hi, I'm sorry. Am I still on? Sorry,
you
apologies, guys.
You were breaking up, but now you sound clear.
Thank you. I got some heads up that I need to pick up the phone. I apologize, everybody. Thank you. I'm going to close up by sharing some of the different ways of keeping apprised of the CAT updates. We've spent the past 45 minutes on this webinar. Jeff just went through some additional webinars we'll be holding as well as in person. But as you, we've mentioned in the past and as we'll go through right now, there are a number of ways by way of the website catnmsplan.com. So you may be asking yourself how to get to some of the things like the specs, the CAT alerts, and the scenarios I've been talking about. If you were to go to catnmsplan.com and then click on technical specifications in the top banner as highlighted here, it would bring you to this very page here. This is where we update all the technical specifications, the scenarios, as well as posting the CAT alerts. So those items that we've been discussing to date can be found here again on the technical specifications page of catnmsplan.com. If you can move up to the next slide, please. We've also talked about the various types of FAQs that we have available. So we have three sets to date, general FAQ, the interpretive FAQs, and the OATS FAQ to CAT mapping. Again, catnmsplan.com, and you'll see the FAQ banner up at the top, which will bring you to the three different types of FAQs. As I believe we've mentioned, the interpretive FAQs continue to be updated as more information comes in. And the next slide, please. And then how would you know that new FAQs have been posted, or that there are webinars, or that new specifications have been posted? by going to, if you'll see on catamsplan.com, and you'll see the lower banner, it says subscribe. By going to this page, you can sign up for website email notifications from CAT NMS Plan Alerts. And just as I suggested, you'll get updates to FAQs, specifications, announcements of webinars, and other in-person types of discussions, and really any type of pertinent information, any updates that come out of CAT NMS will be made available through this subscription. So I think I say this every time, but I want to emphasize again that is very important, I'm sure, for everyone here to stay apprised. If you yourselves are already signed up, I encourage you to perhaps tell some friends of yours that might be interested in CAT or would be required to know about CAT to sign up for these notifications, because we do provide really a lot of the information we've been discussing here can be made available there as well. In addition, when we post, when we're done with this webinar, we will post it to the website, and we will, of course, make that announcement through the subscription service as well. And the next slide, please. And lastly, last way of getting in touch with us would be the CAT Help Desk via email or phone number. We will happily take in your questions, understanding that if there are some types of interpretive questions, understand that those would require a bit more time, as we want to ensure that we speak with the SROs and the interpretive working group to ensure that we get the best answer back to you. So we will happily take in your questions, understanding that some things can certainly be answered more quickly than others. And here are some of the items that are available to you. Again, I'll just repeat it again. You'll see it here. It's catanimusplan.com. We encourage you to sign up for the subscriptions. And with that, I will hand it back to Max to take your questions.
Sure. Thanks, Todd. So I guess at this time, we'll open it up for a Q&A session. We'll be taking questions via the webcast, the WebEx feature. So I invite all those on the line to submit through there, and we'll try and answer them as best as possible here.
So the first question that we have is whether there will be a functional spec written that would be more geared toward business users as opposed to technical staff who may be using the technical specifications. So we are not planning on a separate functional specification, but we have the whole separate scenarios document that we've broken out that addresses the business scenarios and how that should be reported. And then we have all of our different FAQs that are meant to help answer and provide information from a business perspective about what's reportable, when, and why. That would be geared towards potentially business users as well. And then there is a question here about, Todd, this one may be better for Thesis, getting more information on tools Thesis will offer for exception resolution.
We're certainly working on this reporter portal, and we're in the process of gathering some additional requirements that will be made available, and we should get that out to the industry in the early of next year. There'll be more information available about that. We're going through requirements gathering sessions now. I'm sure that the industry working groups and the SROs will make that available such that you can provide your feedback, but we will certainly make that available, or excuse me, once that feedback comes back and we have some additional mock-ups to share, we'll certainly be happy to do so. But as you suggest, through this web service or the web tool, you will be able to not only monitor your reports, but you will be able to make corrections and make submissions to CAT as well.
We have a couple of questions here that are related to the start of day and end of day security files and how intraday symbols will be handled, intraday symbol changes will be handled. There will be the difference between the start of day and end of day. I don't know if Todd or Paul, you might have more perspective other than, you know, obviously the end of day will show the difference in anything that was added or deleted in the middle of the day. And then there's the question, there was a question about whether the OAT start of day and end of day files would be different than the CAT end of day and start of day, and other than the fact that you'll have different securities subject to CAT than OATs, I don't think there's expected to be a fundamental difference between that. But I, again, Paul or Todd, please jump in with any additional clarification.
Thanks, Shelley. This is Todd. I can tell you what the process will be, and then whether or not that's different or not, you guys can make your draw your own conclusions. I don't expect it to be, but we will be taking it. We, CAT, will be taking in on a daily basis symbol masters from each of the listing exchanges. If there are any intraday updates to those symbol masters, the SROs have the ability to submit that information into CAT. At the start of the day, when we get it in, I think starting at 4 a.m., that we get those symbol masters in and we generate what the CAT symbol master is, that will then be made available to SROs as well as to industry members. As those updates are made throughout the day, we will then generate one at the end of the day, such that the SROs and the industry members would have access to that as well. So as far as the process is concerned, it is, again, a start of day and end of day with any intraday changes taking place in between, and we'll publish that as they become at those two times of the day. Excuse me.
So there's a question here. Is there an FAQ regarding service providers reporting on behalf of broker-dealers and if they need to register as well as the broker-dealers? So there are a couple of FAQs out regarding third-party reporting agents. And then the registration requirements for those, I think, will be covered. And Todd, jump in again, if they will have to register so CAT recognizes them, and then the appropriate authorizations put in place for on whose behalf they are authorized to report for. No third-party agent could come in and report for anybody without the person on whose behalf they're reporting having given them authorization to do so. And I think we have an FAQ that talks about that. Then can someone explain, see, more information about how the conformance period will work? Yes. And just to point you to the CATNMSplan.com website, and under the previous presentations that we've done, I think it was getting off the top of my head which presentation, whether it was the August, it may have been the August presentation. If you go to that particular presentation, August 14th, I believe it is, there's a slide or two that goes more in depth on the conformance period and what exactly that is. Yes, it's on in that presentation, slide 9. And it talks about some of the criteria that will be in place during the conformance period. So during that period, between November and February, all CAT reportable activity must be reported within the required time frames. That means by 8 a.m. the next trading day. Each CAT reporter will be required to make reasonable efforts to correct system or coding errors promptly. And by that, talking about identifying root cause of the reporting error, making sure that is promptly corrected so that if it's contributing to rejections or unlinked events, those can cease. And then very importantly, having an adequate CAT supervisory system in place. So essentially, to the extent that a CAT reporter would fail to report or identify coding errors promptly or having an inadequate supervisory system, there could be regulatory consequences to that. What will be not as strictly enforced during that time period is corrections by T+3 at 8 a.m., understanding firms need to have time to work these things out and look to get those processes in place. So that's really where the regulatory conformance period plays a role. So check out that prior presentation. All right. What else?
Will the symbol list contain options? Yes.
Hey, Shelley, sorry, this is Todd. So the symbol master that CAT will produce will not include options. It will only include equity listed equity symbols.
I apologize. Thank you, Todd. Thank you very much. Is there an implementation timeline suggest as guidance with milestones? I don't think we have anything that we're planning to publish that would be like a critical path for a firm to follow, if that's what the intent of the question is. So there's a question here, when is start of day and when does end of day for the security master? I assume that the question is what time of day those will be published. I'm not sure that has been established yet. Todd, can I throw that one to you?
We actually have 6 a.m. in the specification for the start of day, okay. And I think the end of day has not been finalized yet, but I believe we were looking at either 6 or 8 p.m., but I would need to double-check that one.
Okay. Let's see. Then we're getting quite a few more questions rolling in. Some of them are on the more detailed side. What is the use of reporting exception code on MEOT when they are only required for trades that went to the tape? I believe we still have the scenario where a prop account might trade against another prop account, which would be CAT reportable but would not be trade reportable, would be one example. There's another question here. Would you have an announcement or document with registration procedures before December 10th? We can take that back. I don't know. Off the top of my head, don't know the specific timing.
Yeah, Shelley, this is Max. So okay. My understanding is the thesis CAT team is planning on sending something out more or less around by mid-December. At least kind of the initial registration stage, but we'll definitely circle back and provide further guidance on that via the website and as we reach out to individual member firms.
See, there's one here, perhaps, Todd, you can take, will both the service provided and broker-dealer be able to test via connectivity on 8/15/19?
Yes, that would certainly be our expectation, that we'd be able to have all submitters, whether they be CAT reporting agents or submitters who are reporters themselves. That is correct.
All right, there's a question here. FIF submitted feedback on the industry gather after reviewing tech spec version 0.7. When will we get feedback on those as they pertain fit with the final specification? So that is what when we published CAT Alert 2, I believe, where we highlighted the key changes that were things that were addressed based on that feedback. And then there's CAT Alert 1 that also went through all of the different issues that had been addressed, had been raised, and how those were addressed. So between CAT Alert 1 and CAT Alert 2, that should be reflected in what the result of different issues were. We also included in CAT Alert 2, there's a footnote with a link to a redlined version of the specification if someone wants to go through and look at all the detailed changes that were made. Okay, will the symbol list contain listed convertible bonds? So the symbol list should contain all exchange-listed securities. So it would be that should be included on that list. Let's see. Will firms have to submit CAT order events by calendar date as opposed to business date? Orders received after 4/15 through midnight would have to be within one file. Todd, maybe this might be best addressed. Might be on the file validation.
Sure. Allow me just to point out also that in the industry member spec, there is a definition of and an appendix on trading day and business day and calendar day to try to help kind of put this to rest, or at least to help provide some additional clarification in case I don't provide it over the phone clearly enough. But everything is being done. The date of your file should be based the calendar date. So you may submit everything for an entire day from midnight to midnight in one file. If you choose, you may submit everything from 4:15 p.m. or after at 4:15 in a separate file if you wish, and not have it considered to be late. But if, in fact, you have all of your information available for a day, say your system stops at 6:30 p.m., your particular firm, you may then package that all up for that entire day for that midnight through 6:15 or 6:30 p.m. of that calendar day into a single file for that date. If, however, you trade 24 hours and you feel as though it's easier for you to split it up by the 4:15 time, you may submit those as two separate files.
Great. Thanks, Todd. So there's a question here where will there be a monthly report card similar to OATS compared against peers once CAT goes live? And the answer is yes. Each CAT reporter will get a CAT report card, compliance report card, and it will include peer group averages and things like that. There is a question here, handling instructions, can we get a list of which ones apply to options versus equities? We are not planning to create lists of these handling codes specific to options or specific to equities. I think there's some that will probably go across both, so we at this time are not planning to do that. Will CAT follow the same symbology as OATS? So the CAT symbology, CAT events must be reported in the exchange listed format, which I believe is the same as OATS. Is that, has that exhausted our list of questions? All right, that appears to be all of the questions that we have. Is this one more that will we be assigned our IMID when we register? So, and Todd, correct me if I get this wrong as well. It's you're not going to be assigned an IMID. An IMID is any SRO assigned identifier. So if you're a FINRA member and you have an MPID, or you're a SIBO member and you have a SIBO assigned identifier for use on the options exchange, what you would be doing when you would register is select one of those identifiers that would be used as your default CAT IMID for routing scenarios where you don't previously have some other MPID requirement or agreement between two firms. All right, for manual orders with manual date of 4:15 Eastern Time and an electronic capture of 4:20, will the calendar date of the file be based on the event timestamps or capture timestamp? I'm thinking we'll take that one back. I don't know, Todd, if you have a perspective, but I'm thinking that would be the event timestamp.
Yeah, I think that's correct, but it'd probably be worth taking that back also.
Yeah, we'll take that back and make sure that's the correct answer. All right, that appears to be all the questions we have. So thank you all very much for your participation. And again, if you do an options business, we strongly encourage you to attend the options webinar tomorrow. And if you are primarily focused on equities or doing equities business, to join the equity event next week.
And just to note prior to adjourning here, so as per usual, this presentation will be made available on the CAT NMS website for everyone to reference within 24 hours. We will also be including the audio playback recording for folks to just re-listen as needed. Thank you very much. Appreciate everyone joining.
Thank you.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.